You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for everything that he's done for each and every one of us, and for everything that we have, and also for everything that we do not have that's in our best interest not to have. So we pray that that this day will become a festive day as we usher in the birth of our blessed Lord through our blessed Lady. We're going to begin with a supplication from day 31 in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. And this begins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Louisa articulates, quote, "My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hand so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. All of this we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So blessed Christmas to everyone. Jesus articulates to Louisa in volume 16, December 26th, that anyone and everyone journeying in the divine will, every day as if it is Christmas. End quote. So if you think about it, at Christmas, we're given our Lord. In the divine will, we're given our Lord again every day in a greater capacity. Christmas is cheer. It's love. Our Lord gives us the love, the truths that are contained in the book of heaven. That is all love, the reciprocal of love, every day. The birth, again, was the most solemn act, Jesus quotes, of all of creation. The most single solemn act of all creation. And he goes on to articulate, so in the act of my birth, there was an act of silence and a profound adoration and prayer, end quote. We're going to try to emulate that today. On behalf of our blessed Lord, our blessed mother, Louisa, and this great gift of the divine will. So if you're looking for something to give someone this year, give them the greatest gift, and it costs you no money. Introduce them to the gift of living in the divine will. It's the greatest gift that Jesus says that he has given to mankind. So therefore, it's the greatest gift we can give to one another. And now, the gift I give, or we give, and God gives to all of us, by the Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine World that come to us live via live stream from Italy. Blessed Christmas. Hello, with, Mother. Hello, Sister.
Hello.
Hello.
Merry Christmas. With the novena of Holy Christmas, at the age of about 17, I prepared myself for the feast of Holy Christmas by practicing various acts of virtue and mortification, and especially by honoring the 9 months which Jesus spent in the maternal womb with 9 hours of meditation each day, always concerning the mystery of the incarnation.
Thank you.
As, for example, for 1 hour with my thought, I brought myself to paradise, and I imagined the Most Holy Trinity, the Father sending the Son upon earth, the Son promptly obeying the will of the Father, the Holy Spirit consenting. My mind was confused in contemplating a mystery so great, a love so reciprocal, so equal, so strong among themselves and toward men, and then the ingratitude of men, and especially my own. I would have remained there, not for 1 hour, but for the whole day. But an interior voice told me, enough. Come and see other excesses of my love.
Second excess of love. Then my mind brought itself into the maternal womb and remained stupefied in considering a God so great in heaven. Now so annihilated, restricted, constrained, as to be unable to move and almost even to breathe. The interior voice told me, "Do you see how much I have loved you? Oh, please make me a little space in your heart. Remove everything which is not mine, so you will give me more freedom to move and to breathe." My heart was consumed. I asked for his forgiveness. I promised to be completely his own. I pour myself out in crying, but I say this to my confusion. I will go back to my usual defects. Oh, Jesus, how good you are with this miserable creature.
Of course.
Third access of love. As I moved on to the second, to the third meditation, an interior voice told me, "My daughter, please place your head upon the womb of my mama and look deep into it at my little humanity." My love devoured me. The fires, the oceans, the immense seas of love of my divinity inundated me, burned me to ashes, and send their flames so high as to rise and reach everywhere. All generations, from the first to the last man, my little humanity was devoured in the midst of such flames. But do you know what my eternal love wants me to devour? Ah, souls. And only then was I content, when I devoured them all, to remain conceived with me. I was God, and I was to operate as God. I had to take them all. My love would have given me no peace had I excluded any of them. Ah, my daughter, look well into the womb of my mama. Fix well your eyes on my conceived humanity, and you will find your soul conceived with me, and the flames of my love that devour you. Oh, how much I loved you, and I do love you. I felt dissolved in the midst of so much love, nor was I able to go out of it. But a voice called me loudly, saying, "My daughter, this is nothing yet. Cling more tightly to me, and give your hands to my dear mama, that she may hold you to her maternal womb. And you, take another look at my little conceived humanity, and watch the fourth access of my love."
Thank you.
fourth excess of love. My daughter, from the devouring love, move on to look at my operative love. Each conceived soul brought me the burden of her sins, of her weaknesses and passions, and my love commanded me to take the burden of each one of them. And it conceived not only the souls, but the pains of each one, as well as the satisfaction which each one of them was to give my celestial Father. So my passion was conceived together with me. Look well at me in the womb of my celestial mama. Oh, how tortured was my little humanity. Look well at my little head, surrounded by a crown of thorns, which, pressed tightly around my temples, made rivers of tears pour out from my eyes, nor was I able to make a move to dry them. Oh, please, be moved to compassion for me. Dry my eyes from so much crying. You who have free arms to be able to do it. These thorns are the crown of the so many evil thoughts which crowd the human minds. Oh, how they prick me, more than thorns which sprout from the earth. But look again, what a long crucifixion of 9 months. I could not move a finger or a hand or a foot. I was always immobile. There was no room to be able to move even a tiny bit. What a long and hard crucifixion. With the addition that all evil works, assuming the form of nails, continuously pierced my hands and feet. So he continued to narrate to me, pains upon pains, all the martyrdoms of his little humanity, such that if I wanted to tell them all, I would be too long. I abandoned myself to crying, and I heard in my interior, my daughter, I would like to hug you, but I am unable to do so. There is no room. I am immobile. I cannot do it. I would like to come to you, but I'm unable to walk. For now, you hug me and you come to me. Then when I come out of the maternal womb, I will come to you. But as I hugged him and squeezed him tightly to my heart with my imagination, an interior voice told me, enough for now, my daughter. Move on to consider the fifth excess of my love.
Peace on earth and mercy.
unleashed excess of love. And the interior voice continued, "My daughter, do not move away from me. Do not leave me alone. My love wants your company. This is another excess of my love, which does not want to be alone. But do you know whose company it wants? That of the creature. See, in the womb of my mama, all of the creatures are together with me, conceived together with me. I am with them, all love. I want to tell them how much I love them. I want to speak with them, to tell them of my joys and sorrows, that I have come into their midst to make them happy and to console them, that I will remain in their midst as a little brother, giving my goods, my kingdom, to each one of them at the cost of my life. I want to give them my kisses and my caresses. I want to amuse myself with them. But how many sorrows they give me. Some run away from me. Some play deaf and force me into silence. Some despise my goods and do not care about my kingdom, returning my kisses and caresses with indifference and obliviousness of me, till they convert my amusement into bitter crying. Oh, how lonely I am, though in the midst of many. Oh, how loneliness weighs upon me. I have no one to whom to say a word, with whom to pour myself out, not even in love. I'm always sad and taciturn, because if I speak, I'm not listened to. Oh, my daughter, I beg you, I implore you, do not leave me alone in so much loneliness. Give me the good of letting me speak by listening to me. Lend your ear to my teachings. I'm the master of masters. How many things do I want to teach you? If you listen to me, you will stop my crying, and I will amuse myself with you. Don't you want to amuse yourself with me? And as I abandon myself in him, giving him my compassion in his loneliness, the interior voice continued, "Enough, enough. Move on to consider the sixth excess of my love."
Oh, excess of love. My daughter, come, pray my dear mother to set aside a little space for you within her maternal womb, that you yourself may see the painful state in which I find myself. So in my thoughts, it seemed that our Queen Mama made me a little room to make Jesus content and placed me in it. But the darkness was such that I could not see him. I could only hear his breathing while he continued to say in my interior, my daughter, look at another excess of my love. I am the eternal light. The sun is a shadow of my light. But do you see where my love led me? In what a dark prison I am? There is not a glimmer of light. It is always night for me, but a night without stars, without rest. I am always awake. What pain! The narrowness of this prison without being able to make the slightest movement, the thick darkness, even my breathing, as I breathe through the breathing of my mama, oh, how labored it is. To this, add the darkness of the sense of creatures. Each sin was a night for me, and combined together, they formed an abyss of darkness with no boundaries. What pain! Oh, excess of my love, making me pass from an immensity of light and space into an abyss of thick darkness, so narrow as to lose the freedom to breathe, and all this for love of creatures. As he was saying this, he moaned. Moans almost suffocated because of the lack of space, and he cried. I was consumed with crying. I thanked him. I compassionated him. I wanted to make him a little light with my love, as he told me to. But who can say it all? Then the same interior voice added, enough for now. Move on to the seventh excess of my love. Seventh excess of love. The interior voice continued, my daughter, do not leave me alone in so much loneliness and in so much darkness. Do not leave the womb of my mama so you may see the seventh excess of my love. Listen to me. In the womb of my celestial father, I was fully happy. There was no good which I did not possess. joy, happiness, everything was at my disposal. The angels adored me reverently, hanging upon my every wish. Ah, excess of my love. I could say that it made me change my destiny. It restrained me within this gloomy prison. It stripped me of all my joys, happinesses, and goods to clothe me with all the unhappiness of creatures, and all this in order to make an exchange, to give them my destiny, my joys, and my eternal happiness. But this would have been nothing had I not found in them highest ingratitude and obstinate perfidy. Oh, how my eternal love was surprised in the face of so much ingratitude, and how it cried over the stubbornness and perfidy of man. Ingratitude was the sharpest thorn that pierced my heart from my conception up to the last moment of my life. Look at my little heart. It is wounded and pours out blood. What pain, what torture I feel. My daughter, do not be ungrateful to me. Ingratitude is the hardest pain of your Jesus. It is to close a door in my face, leaving me numb with cold. But my love did not stop at so much ingratitude. It took the attitude of supplicating, imploring, moaning, and begging love. This is the eighth excess of my love.
Excess of love. My daughter, do not leave me alone. Place your head upon the womb of my dear mama, and even from the outside, you will hear my moans and my supplications. In seeing that neither my moans nor my supplications move the creature to compassion for my love, I assume the attitude of the poorest of beggars. And stretching out my little hand, I ask for pity's sake, and at least as alms, for their souls, for their affections, and for their hearts. My love wanted to win over the heart of man at any cost, and in seeing that after seven accesses of my love, he was still reluctant, he played deaf, he did not care about me, and did not want to give himself to me. My love wanted to push itself further. It should have stopped, but no, it wanted to overflow even more from within its boundaries. And from the womb of my mama, it made my voice reach every heart with the most insinuating manners, with the most fervent prayers, with the most penetrating words. And do you know what I said to them?
My child, give me your heart. I will give you everything you want, provided that you give me your heart in exchange. I have descended from heaven to make a prey of it. Oh, please, do not deny it to me. Do not delude my hopes. And in seeing him reluctant, even more, many turned their backs to me. I passed on to moaning. I joined my little hands, and crying, with a voice suffocated by sobs, I added, Oh, oh, I am the little beggar. You don't want to give me your heart, not even as alms? Is this not a greater excess of my love, that the Creator, in order to approach the creature, takes the form of a little baby so as not to strike fear in him, that he asks for the heart of the creature, at least as alms, and in seeing that he does not want to give it, he supplicates, moans, and cries? Then I heard him say, And you, don't you want to give me your heart? Or maybe you too want me to moan, beg, and cry in order to give me your heart? Do you want to deny me the alms I ask of you? And as he was saying this, I heard him as though sobbing, and I, My Jesus, do not cry. I gave you my heart and all of myself. Then the interior voice continued, Move further. Pass on to the ninth excess of my love. Excess of love. My daughter, my state is ever more painful. If you love me, keep your gaze fixed on me to see if you can offer some relief to your Jesus. A little word of love, a caress, a kiss will give respite to my crying and to my afflictions. Listen, my daughter, after I gave eight excesses of my love and men requited them so badly, my love did not want to give up and wanted to add the ninth access to the eighth. And this was yearning, sighs of fire, flames of desire. For I wanted to go out of the maternal womb to embrace man. This reduced my little humanity, not yet born, to such an agony as to reach the point of breathing my last. But as I was about to breathe my last, my divinity, which was inseparable from me, gave me sips of life, and so I regained life to continue my agony and return again to the point of death. This was the ninth access of my love, to agonize and to die of love continuously for the creature. Oh, what a long agony of 9 months. Oh, how love suffocated me and made me die. Had I not had the divinity with me, which gave me life again every time I was about to finish, love would have consumed me before coming out to the light of day. Then he added, look at me, listen to me, how I agonize, how my heart beats, pants, burns. Look at me, now I die. And he remained in deep silence. I felt like dying. My blood froze in my veins, and trembling, I said to him, my love, my life, do not die, do not leave me alone. You want love, and I will love you. I will not leave you ever again. Give me your flames to be able to love you more and be consumed completely for you.
Volume 3, December 25th, 1899. After spending several days of almost total privation of my highest and only good, days accompanied by hardness of heart, without even being able to cry over my great loss, though I offered to God even that loss, saying to him, Lord, accept it as a sacrifice. You alone can soften this heart of mine so hard. Finally, after long suffering, my dear Queen Mama came, carrying the celestial baby on her lap, wrapped in a little cloth, all shivering. She placed him in my arms, telling me, my daughter, warm him with your affections, because my son was born in extreme poverty, in the complete abandonment of men, and in highest mortification.
Thank you.
blessed Christmas to all, and to all a blessed night. Love everyone. God bless everyone. Be kind to one another. Thanks be to God forever.